discuss this first. Did your parole officers come? No, okay.
Who's your PO? In Tucson.
Oh, she wanted to be telephoned, I think.
Okay.
Do a telephone number?
I'm not sure, I think it's in the packet. Okay, so this is a hearing for Mr. Price.
Yes, we have two phone calls, so we have Mr. Johnson also.
All right, so we have two phone calls on this one?
Yes.
Okay, so Mr. Price, if you would like to come down to the, front here.
Ashley's two, is it Jessica Hatcher and Mary Beth Patton?
Yes, sir, so you have...
We'll get your phone people patched in here, if you just give us a moment.
Okay.
Please just state your name and your ABC number for the record.
Charles L. Price, 03367...
Sir, all right, just hold on a second and...
Okay.
Sir, if you want to sit down, you can sit right there just while we're waiting. We get tired of sitting all day, but...
More bad moments than good.
You have reached the voicemail box of 62330233310.
Hi, Ms. Hatcher, this is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. We understood you wanted to be, take place with the hearing for Mr. Charles Price Jr. We're in the process of getting ready to conduct that hearing. If you get this message within the next 10 or 15 minutes, you can give us a call back at 542...
5656.
5656. Thank you.
Please leave your message for...
Yes, Ms. Tapp, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and we're about to start the hearing for Mr. Charles Price Jr. It's our understanding that you wish to participate. If you get this message within the next few moments, please give us a call back at 602-542-5656. Thank you so very much. And who was the parole officer?
Mr. Burke.
Oh, Mr. Burke, okay.
Okay, so neither of the two, we left messages for Mr. Price. So, Mr. Price, we left the messages, and if they give it with time, then they'll call in, and the office will come and tell us. So we'll get you reconnected. And your parole officer has arrived too, so, yeah, okay, good. All right, so if you'd like to come, just come back up to the microphone. We'll just start with a brief summary, sir. And you're here today for a 412A, which is general parole, home arrest for absolute discharge. And I understand you're on home arrest now, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right. And just a brief summary, you're 68, is that right? 68 years old?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you were serving 25 years to life for the murder first degree. And that occurred September 17th to 20th, 1983, somewhere in that range. And you were 33 at the time?
Yes, ma'am.
About 33? Okay, and you were convicted via plea on November 3rd of '83 and sentenced in December on the 7th of '83. You had, your criminal history dated back to, it looks like, about 1968. You had some in Arizona and some in California. Okay. And it was kind of a range of offenses, burglary, forgery, theft, receiving stolen property, DWI arson, several DWIs. You had some discipline in prison, although you've been out on home arrest, so we don't need to talk about the prison. Would you like to bring that chair over?
If you don't mind.
Please, just bring the chair over, and then you can bend that mic there, because I see you're having a hard time. It should bend right down. How about that?
Thank you.
See, we're just, we're okay here. Okay, so we're not really going to talk that much about your prison discipline. You did have one in 2016. I think it was a minor for disobeying an order. But you have had a few, a couple of stints in the community, it looks like. You've been on home arrest before in 2011,
yes,
I think. And you were brought back before the board, and I think continued on home arrest in 2012.
Yes, ma'am.
And then revoked later that year. And that was around drug use, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And have you continued to have a problem with that?
No, ma'am.
Okay. What's different? What happened to change you?
I've been going to classes, and the 13th, I started terrorist counseling. I just finished 12 weeks of counseling at the halfway house. My parole officer, Chris Burke, has a certificate for it, and I gave it to him.
Okay. All right.
And I'm going to keep going to counseling. I was taking classes in the prison, but the last year and a half, I was in housing unit 6 at Manzanita.
Uh-huh.
And they ain't got nothing.
Right. Yeah.
So I was there unless I was in the hospital.
Okay.
So.
All right, sir. And then you were out on this term of home arrest in August, right? You were granted in August, and then you were released finally in November.
18th.
A little after Thanksgiving, right around Thanksgiving. Okay. Okay. Do you know, is there any restitution owed in your case?
No,
I couldn't see any, but I thought, well, I would just ask you and see if there was anything. Okay. Well, Mr. Price, we're kind of interested in how you've been doing on home arrest. How have you been doing? Where do you go? Where do you live?
Reborn.
Okay, you're living at Reborn.
And, the first 3 weeks, I ended up going into the hospital with pneumonia.
Oh.
And then I was there for 6 days. Then I came back out, and probably 4 or 5 weeks later, my sister had to take me back to emergency, and they kept me. I was 2 or 3 hours away from
the
hospital.
Wow.
So my doctor, Dr. John Hopkins, says, liver specialist, I got to get here.
Hello?
Yes, Mr. Sam. If you would hold on.
Yes, it is.
Yes, hold on just 1 moment. We're having a hearing with Mr. Price, and
they said
you'll be called on in a few moments.
They reordered me one.
All right, thank you.
So I got lucky. So they immediately did my eye surgery.
Okay.
Because it was supposed to be March 17th or March 7th, and they had a cancellation, so I got it done yesterday.
Oh, lucky. Okay, you finally had some good luck there.
Yeah,
well,
we
had some good luck before that.
A cornea transplant.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got to go. That's why when I leave here, I got to go. They got to look at it.
Okay. Well, we're hoping for the best on that, so. Awesome.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, what else? What else have you been
well,
doing?
Just walking and trying to exercise. And I, if I walk normal like you or one of you gentlemen, but I got to sit down there for about 10 feet, so I got to walk like a turtle.
Okay.
Well, I got COPD and asthma, and it runs the show. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I understand. But they're going to check you out.
Yeah, it just zaps me.
Okay. Understood. What have you been able to get involved in, like, your church or your... Do you have activities that you do in the evening?
Not at... Because of my health at the halfway house, I really... My sister asked me if I could take me to Terrace, because I guess I could take the bus, but after being down all the time I am, it sounds stupid, but I'm lost.
I know, I understand. You've been visiting a long time.
It'd take me forever to get to the bus station, and then I don't know where am I going.
Right.
So my sister, she comes over, and I'm hoping to be able to move back in with her, and it makes it easier on her, because she helps me. We need each other, and we help each other, because she just lost her daughter 14 days ago, and her son died yesterday morning.
Oh, my.
In the bedroom. So she ain't in the best of health.
Yeah, I understand.
And neither am I, but you got to deal with it.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah. Okay.
Other than that, I'm starting Terrace Counseling, and when I get back to my sister's house, and I'm living there, we're going to start going to church every Sunday like we did before.
Right.
You know, I want to do that because I'm 68. And, well, I should have changed my life a long time ago, but...
Well, but you're changing it now, so that's all right. It's never too late.
No, I'm too tired. We're getting old.
Yeah, well... Okay. So, let's see. What else was I going to ask you? Let me see if my fellow board members have any questions for you at this point.
I do. So what's preventing you from being able to stay at your sister's house?
I'm sorry?
What is preventing you from being able to stay at your sister's house?
Well, I was there before when I went back because of Spice. And they wanted me at a halfway house for 90 days. Well, I've already done the 90 days. And I asked my parole officer if he considered talking to the supervisor or whoever to get permission to me to move back in with my sister. And he said he'd check on it and let me know. He says I'll have to go to the house again, maybe assess it or whatever they call it. Anyway, I said, okay, so that's what I'm waiting on. I'm hoping it soon, because she lives at 75th Avenue in Peoria, and poor car back and forth, you know.
Well, there's a letter in there from Greenborn that says that you would be probably better with the assisted living program or living with your sister than being at Reborn.
Well, I don't know what they wrote.
Yeah, well, they did. They wrote that, you know, your age and health limit much of what you're able to do, but Mr. Price may excel better with assisted living or living with his sister.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't let me see what he wrote. He just gave it to my parole officer with his certificate.
So I didn't see. Are you on a monitor? You have a monitor too?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. And I charge it every 4 hours. Unless I'm sleeping. Then I get up, and that's the first thing I do.
Okay. Check it out.
All right, sir. Thank you. That was it for me.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, sir. Let's see. We have your parole officer here. Mr. Burke, did you want to come up? If you, Mr. Place, if you want to maybe move over to that chair, and then there we go. Now, Mr. Burke, can get up to the microphone. Thank you, sir. Please just state your name and.
My name is James Burke.
What would you like to tell us about Mr. Price?
Well, overall, I think he's done okay on parole or on home arrest status. He hasn't had any significant violations other than a missed UA. He did submit a follow-up UA, and that was came back. I don't know if you guys discussed that before I got in here, but I just wanted to make sure that was known. Follow-up UA was negative. Sounds like more of a mistake on his part, I'm guessing. Then you had a question, sir, about why his house with the sister was denied.
I didn't ask why. I didn't know she was denied.
It was initially. That was his first placement when he was granted home arrest. The second time around, where he lived before, that was submitted again as an address, and it was denied. It's kind of a lengthy, would you like copies of the denial?
It's okay. Sum it up.
No, those are what we need, at least one copy for the record.
It is a page in length, I don't want to go waste too much of your guys' time, but essentially, I wasn't able to complete the investigation due to the condition of the house. There were numerous pit bulls in the backyard, there were doors that were locked, I didn't have access to the garage. There was an RV in the back, she didn't have keys for it, she said she didn't have keys for the garage, the RV, stuff like that. There were a lot of vehicles in front of the, inside of the residence. I gave her an opportunity to get the dogs put up in a certain room so I could take a look around the house a little bit better. During that time, I jotted down some license plates that were parked on the property, and when I got back to the office, I ran them in our cop link. And one of them came back to an incident where Peoria SWAT was at the house. That was in March of 2017. So 6 months before he was granted home arrest, I guess. In that instance, it had to do with, I guess with the federal postal inspections was also part of it. I guess there was some oxycodone or oxycontin that was mailed to the house. It stemmed an investigation for some reason. I don't know exactly all the details on it. But there was some drugs found in the house. Methamphetamine, marijuana, digital scales, drug paraphernalia, and a shotgun. So based on all of that, we kind of ended up denying the residence because I wasn't sure exactly sure who all was living there. Ms. Price indicated it was just her children or her grandchildren, but the report kind of indicated otherwise, and the access, no access to all the rooms in the house was the reason for the denial.
And is Mr. Price good about his itineraries?
He's good on his itinerary. I mean, he does have a little bit of issues focusing his camera when he sends me the picture, but as far as
I'm trying,
he communicates well with me. He's really, I mean, I don't have any issues with him other than that Misty Way. He follows his itinerary.
I can't wait to get my hearing aids. It's in my phone. I call it, and then out front of Reborn, they post the colors. Mm-hmm. I bow out there and I read it again just to make sure. I told him and the supervisor, it ain't happening again.
Well, I believe you.
I do review his GPS points, and he goes exactly where he's supposed to go. He doesn't deviate, he doesn't to and from. I mean, other than medical and the hospital and shopping or going to the bank, he doesn't do much, but he does go to where he's supposed to go, and he doesn't deviate at all. Mrs. Price indicated to me that no one else is living in the house anymore. She's indicated that she's working on fixing up the house, making it accessible.
Okay.
So, potential. We'll go back out and reinvestigate it. If it's appropriate, we can see about reapproving that address.
Did you have a question?
I had a question. Has anyone been paroled to like an assisted living place?
There is a South Mountain assisted living that we have. Typically, I've dealt with them, and there's another one that's called Suncrest. That's for more of the infirm, not able to get out of bed. But South Mountain assisted living, they do offer meals. And medical assistance, just basic, you know, take your medicine type of thing. I've dealt with them on mainly on the sex offender side of it. That's who we usually send over there. I don't know if there's any other alternatives for someone else that's not.
The reason I was asking, because I do know Reboy, you know, is not equipped to deal with medical issues, and we have seen them, you know, have somebody put out because of medical issues. So I'm kind of taking in this letter, that's kind of what they're saying. And
I did too.
We got a couple guys that's been there a year, going on a year and a half, so because
I don't know where they decide that he can't be there, where he would go to, besides homeless.
That would be Dr. Wright, did you have a question?
Yes, ma'am, I have a couple of questions. I just want to make sure that I understand. Now, if I heard, and I guess if I read or heard Rittenhouse a few months ago when she made the introductory statement, he was released when, last August?
He was approved, but he was released in November.
That's what I'm asking, that's what I'm getting to. Why was that delay?
We did the initial investigation of his mother's house. I think he did submit another one for maybe TLC, and then he did another one, the last one, which did get approved, and that was reborn.
And my next question is, how so long are you on investigating his sister's house now that supposedly she has rehabilitated it and put everybody else out of the house? How long does it take? I know you can't answer the question, and I know you can't say exactly, but about how long would it take for...
We just started talking about it, so I don't know if the house is ready yet or not for me to come look at it yet, or...
Okay. And I guess my...
Okay. If she calls me, I can...
Okay, I'm just curious. And my next question is, I'm concerned... and I have not, I should have gone back and looked at the records, but when he was out the last time, he was violated for drugs, spice or something, and if I heard you correct, sir, that around that house, where his sister's house, at some point, maybe sometime in early 2017, there might have been some drugs or some automobiles or stuff with some drugs might have been somewhere around that facility, and I'm just trying to get a feel for what was going on. That. Do you have a feel at all?
Mr. Price, we'll let Mr. Berg answer.
You're asking clarification if there was drugs?
I'm asking if there were drugs, and now, I mean, after less than a year, you've cleaned them up. And I'm just asking, I'm a little concerned about, because the last time he was out, he was violated for drugs, spice, I believe.
Yes.
And now we find that he's out there, and at the same residence, according to you, there might have been some, according to you in this report, there might have been some drugs around that facility, that house.
According to the Peoria police report, there was methamphetamine, marijuana, digital scales, multiple items of drug paraphernalia, a loaded shotgun inside the residence. And that was back in March of 2017.
It was about 12 months ago. And now he's interested in going back.
There were other residents of the house. Some that wasn't, like I said, I wasn't there. I don't know who was the actual resident at the time. I do know his sister was living there, and I believe her brother, is that?
Her son.
Her son, okay.
And I guess that's why, I know you don't have all these answers, but I'm just expressing, you know, some concerns that as a board member and taking the interest of the citizens of Arizona.
Absolutely.
And in the governor's office, I'm just a little concerned, and I'm just expressing my concerns. I should wait until discussion. I'm discussing them while I can talk to you, sir.
Sure.
I'm just a little concerned that... But this whole issue of drugs has come up again, because that was an issue back then. We left, and that's an issue. It was an issue last year, last March, thereabouts, and it's just something that...
That was the basis of my denial initially. When I first denied the residence, I thought the same thing you're thinking now.
And now shotgun and drugs and, and all of that, you know, and I recognize the fact that... I guess, you know, as just as a board member, and one reason I raise these questions, you know, I've looked at the records, and that just happened I don't want to be put in this position, but it's a matter of paperwork. I was one of those who voted to deny it last time, and so I just want to make sure that if we move forward, that we, this is something that will not create embarrassment for this board, for you, corrections, or in our case, for the citizens of Arizona, but on a personal level, this board's relationship with the governor's office. Now, that concerns me just a little bit that not that we're that close, but according to you, let's look at it in a more positive sense. I had to bring up a negative, but according to you, he's not had any other challenges except the one UA, and he took another UA, so that's, I'm pushing that aside. I don't see that as being a concern. How soon after that did he have the other UA service? A week, a day, or the next day, or something?
The next day.
The next day?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm not concerned with the UA. And I guess I should be asking him, but what is his actual health status at this time? Is he, I know, you know, looking at him, he has some challenges. We all have some challenges, except young people like you. Y'all don't have any. But we all have a few challenges, and I'm just trying to figure out what are the challenges at this time.
I think he, transportation is an issue for him due to his age, and like he said himself, you know, getting lost on the bus. I believe that's why he pretty much stays home most of the time and doesn't go anywhere unless he has transportation. So, I mean, for him, medical issues is a pretty good obstacle for him.
I'm just going back now, I'm trying to recall. So we have his sister, that's who, I believe this board recommended, that's who he would stay with when he was released, but that didn't work out. So he went to a couple of halfway houses, and this one worked out, but now they suggesting that might not be the best place for him. And I just, is anything else under consideration except for his sister's residence?
I don't think we've come up with anything other than that.
She's getting another house.
They did mention that they were moving to another house, and I said, well, when you guys move, if it's just your sister and nobody else, that would probably be ideal. But I told them if they don't move, I can always go take a look at it and see what I see, and we can do our checks again. And if everything checks out this time, maybe we can approve it, but if it doesn't, if it's in the same condition or the same other stuff crops up that we find, like police calls to the residents and stuff that are more recent than this, we'll probably go ahead and proceed the same way we did with it before and deny it.
Now, just ask one other question, then I'm going to stop asking questions. Based upon the letter that Honorable Mr. Johnson reported from the halfway house, what was that, Rebond? Have they come to you yet to say that he will not be allowed to remain there?
They have not. Not in the case of his medical issues. They did come to me about a week ago with some concerns that Mr. Price was kind of stirring up trouble with other residents, staff members. What they told me basically what he was doing was he would ask somebody to go to the store, for instance, and if that person later said no, he would make up some type of accusation against them. Oh, this guy's drunk, or this guy's using drugs in the house. This is what the staff member told me. It didn't include making up a story about a new staff member that was there. In that instance, I think Mr. Price asked him to go to the store using their company vehicle. I guess when the other staff member or the management found out that the new staff member did that, they got on to that staff member, told him, hey, we don't do that, you know, you're not supposed to do that. So the staff member, new staff member told Mr. Price, you know, hey, I can't do that for you anymore. On the next day or shortly thereafter, Mr. Price made an accusation against that staff member that he was letting some other resident sleep it off from being drunk and didn't report to management like he was supposed to. But as far as the medical stuff, no, they haven't said anything like that. And they said, they did say, you know, out of all the residents, he's an 8 out of a 10. This is the only, that stuff I just spoke of was starting to break the ice, which would mean a discharge for him, but it wasn't to that point yet. And I talked to him, and they talked to him.
And as far as you can tell, it had nothing to do with his medical condition, the reason that he might...
No, they didn't mention anything about medical. The only thing on the medical side of it is in that letter.
Okay, well, I'm not running the fellow. Thank you so very much, Mr. Rittenhouse. I didn't want to take up that much time.
No, no problem at all. Does anyone else have questions for Mr. Berg? Thank you very much for coming. We appreciate it. And I'd also like to invite you, have your sister here? Is that who's here? Would you like to come up? And thank you. And just state your name for the record because we're recording.
My name is Beryl Price, and I'd like to try to explain what went on at the house. I have my son living with me, and in the process, he had a couple friends move in. And a friend I have thrown out, my son is deceased now. He died yesterday. My daughter died 2 weeks ago. So there's nobody there but me and five children. I would like my brother to be able to come home. The drugs that were through the postal thing. My sister had major back surgery and hip surgery and foot surgery, so she was coming down to spend a couple weeks with me. And because of the surgery, and she takes Oxycontin, and she does not thrive with it because she is so forgetful. She stops whatever she puts down is left there. So she sent her medication through the mail, which I didn't know you couldn't send medication through the mail. I learned the hard way. Well, because I threw these guys out, and I didn't know there was a gun in the house, but there was a shotgun in it because I saw them take it out. I told these guys, you have to leave. Now, I do have a motor home, still sitting at my home. Kim Shadow is a U.S. Marshal. I talked to him. I said, please tell me how to get this out because I can't drive it out. I don't have keys to it. I don't have keys to the guy's toy hauler that's sitting at the side of my house. He told me I could go down and get some from the courthouse and get it removed, or he would take and stand by and have somebody come and tow it out. Tried to get the guy to move it. He has nowhere to put it. He hasn't licensed it in 5 years, so he can't have it on the street. So I says, well, can I have it pulled out and put on the street and let the city or let whoever can tow it away? Because I do want my brother home. I have never done drugs in my life, and I never would. The children at the home doesn't. Like I said, there were three or four different people living there at the time, and there's nobody there now but us. There was two pit bulls there. The one pit bull's leaving next week. The other pit bull, I'm trying to find a home for. He is very friendly. He doesn't know he's a dog. He thinks he's a cat. But I don't want him there. I have a chihuahua that was found in a vacant home in the microwave. I have that dog, and I have an English bulldog that is my baby. And the children, you know, they love their uncle. They didn't know their uncle until he came out the last time. You know, everybody's deceased now, and...
So, ma'am, if I can ask, who are the children? You mentioned children.
Well, my great-grandchildren.
They're your great-grandchildren.
It was my granddaughter, and she is very evil. She was very upset because it took 2 years for me to get the children from the state. I fought her, and the state fought her to get the children. They were my granddaughters and her boyfriend. They were never married. They both had their rights severed due to drugs, due to neglect. Whatever you could put on them, trust me, they did. My granddaughter had, you know, come, and she was staying there for a while thinking, well, she could get her life on track and at least be with her children. She couldn't be. I mean, she knocked me into the house. She, her husband came and wanted to run me over. Well, when I went to urgent care, they said, look, they can't, you're an elder. They can't be putting their hands on you. So they did leave. I've got, like I say, I've just got the children, the oldest.
Oh, aren't they? Okay, so they're boys, girls?
I have two boys at home and three girls.
Two boys and three girls?
I have a 16-year-old boy and a 14-year-old boy, two 12-year-old twin girls, and an 11-year-old girl.
Wow.
No, moms were never younger.
12-year-old twins.
They're very good children, and they're A students, and they're...
Oh, that's good.
I mean, they keep me going.
That's good.
I don't know what I would have done without my grandkids yesterday when I found my son in bed.
I'm so sorry about that.
It was
so sorry to hear that.
Well, you know, he's better off. He was a real diabetic, and he just, his blood should go 1480 to 30. I mean, we had to check it every 10 minutes, so he's better off. He suffered a lot.
Okay.
But as far as anybody being there with drugs and that, there is nobody there but myself and the children and the dogs.
Okay.
And my brother, if you'll grant him to come home.
Do any board members have questions for Ms. Price? No? Thank you so much for taking the time.
No.
And we're sorry it took so long today, but we
no
appreciate
problem.
You coming
I
down.
Understand.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Okay, I understand that one of our callers...
Ms. Taft.
Oh, okay. So Ms. Taft?
Yes.
I wanted to give you an opportunity to give testimony to the board if you'd like to do that. So please do that now.
Well, I am the wife of the victim, or the one that Mr. Price assassinated, which I guess isn't really a good word for that, but I was not here or after any call at the very beginning, so I'm being filled in, and I understand Mr. Price is not with his sister, and that situation doesn't seem to be very good, or at least it did not. I believe that wherever Mr. Price is, that he should not be out or exonerated of his genes. He needs to stay on parole. Apparently, things have not quite turned around for him or anybody else, and given the circumstances, I believe he needs to still be under the court's authority.
Okay, the current status is that he's on home arrest, which means he wears a monitor, so his parole officer can tell exactly where he is by GPS.
Okay, then I guess yes, and I wish him to still be under home arrest with the monitor.
Yeah, that's his current status, and the hearing today is to see if he should go to parole, which is still supervised, but he would not have to wear the monitor.
Now, I don't believe that he should be on parole, and I believe that he should be on the home arrest. I want him to be monitored right now. I don't believe he's been out long enough to go unsupervised. And if there are issues surrounding where he's staying now and issues surrounding his sister's house, then I think that we need somebody as a citizen of this country. I want to still pay for him to be monitored.
Okay, ma'am. Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate your input. Do any board members have questions for Ms. Tapp? No?
Yeah, but we do. Council's got an opportunity. We do have the other one.
Oh, we do?
Call.
Okay. So Ms. Taft and everyone in the room, just hold on a second and we'll get the other. We have Ms. Hatcher as well, who called back. Thank you. I didn't know that.
Okay. Hunt, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Premises. I understand that you wish to participate in the hearing for Mr. Price, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, we're coming to us into this hearing, but I know that the chair, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, would like very much to hear from you. So just hold on.
Ms. Hatcher?
Please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ms. Hatcher?
Yes.
Do we have everyone on the line, or just...
Ms. Hatcher, and we should have, Ms. Taft, you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Good.
And Mr. Price, you still in line?
No, Mr. Price is here.
Oh, Mr. Price is here, okay, so everybody's on the line.
So Ms. Hatcher, we've heard from Ms. Taft, but we're just about to the end of the hearing, but we definitely want to hear what you have to say, ma'am. So could you please just state your name and anything you'd like to tell the board today?
I'm Jessica Hatcher. I'm the victim's daughter.
Thank you.
The only thing I really have to say is we totally missed the last one, and he was put on house arrest, and I've come to terms with that, and I believe that it's fine for being on house arrest. For myself and my family, I've come to terms with that, that he is there and being watched, and, you know, he has to check in, do whatever, and I feel that he should stay there just so that he can continue, you know, he wants to live with his sister, and he has a wound as well or whatever, and so just being able to finish his days or whatever out with her, and being able to live a little bit of life, that is perfectly fine with me. I feel that house arrest is still the best fit for everybody.
Okay, Ms. Hatcher, just for your benefit, and I was just telling Ms. Taft this, so I apologize to those who have heard it, but he's currently with the home arrest status. He has a GPS device that he wears, so his parole officer can tell where he is at any given time. And he always has to, every week he has to submit an itinerary of exactly where he's going and when, exactly when. And per his parole officer today, he's told us that Mr. Price has been very good about that. And he's very accurate with being where he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be. So I just wanted to put your mind at ease about that.
Okay.
So it is working the way it's supposed to work, is kind of what I'm trying to say there.
Yeah, and that's perfectly fine. As long as, I know he's getting older and he might not be able to move very easily or whatever, but he did take someone's life, and if he snapped once, he could snap again, and I feel that if he's accountable for what, you know, people are asking him for, then he should still stay accountable, and as long as they know that, and I know that he's being watched, and that it puts my mind at ease.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling us back today. We really appreciate it, appreciate your input. Mr. Price, we're coming toward the end of your hearing. I just do want to make a note before we get completely off the record, but we do have a letter from the county attorney dated March 12th of 2018, and the county attorney is... he's objecting to any additional, the next step toward parole. He's objecting to that. That's just, they routinely do that, and we have that letter, and it's on record. But we're coming toward the end of your hearing, Mr. Price. Is there anything else you want to tell the board that you haven't told us before we finish up?
Does it bother me? I'm not home arrest at all.
I'm sorry.
We won't hear you unless you... I thought, no, something seems wrong here, but yeah, and you can pull the chair if you want to and sit down and get there. I know it's hard. Just you pull that mic down. There you go. Now talk right into that. There you go.
It doesn't bother me being on home arrest. Even I don't plan on. I plan on making nice people look bad. I'm just tired. And Thanks for me. My sister's getting this house cleaned up, and she's gonna get another house. And that's basically what we're waiting on, unless my PO, parole officer, Mr. Berman, says it's okay to stay there until she gets the other house. That's all I gotta say.
Okay, Mr. Berman, or Mr. Price, I'm sorry. Thank you very much, and just take a break there. There's a wait right there, and the board will go into discussion, and then you've been in these hearings before, so the board will be in discussion, and we just ask you to remain seated there, and everyone else in the room and on the phone, if you could just remain quiet, we will go into discussion and come back out in a short while. So the board is now in discussion, and Mr. Price appears to have been doing pretty well on home arrest, although he's only been out since November 28th, so that's not an extremely long time on home arrest. I'd kind of like to see people be on home arrest a little longer than that before we, you know, consider going to a more, a less restrictive type of supervision. He has a pretty good place to go to live, I know Mr. Berman will still investigate that, but that is potentially a good thing, and it would be close to his sister and his family and transportation. It would solve a lot of problems for him if that could happen, but it's not for sure that's going to happen. We'll just open the discussion with those comments and see what other input my fellow board members have. Mr. Johnson?
I agree with what you say. I'm supportive of Mr. Price coming off of home arrest or the monitor at this time, although I do know that he does have some illness. But just based on information from the parole officer, in case he is paroled to his sister's house and that works out, I think he needs to be over there under the monitor system at home arrest and reporting back into the PO, especially with the previous information about the car, search warrant being served on the house, weapons been found in the house, that PO has that ability to totally check that out.
So just to clarify, I'm sorry, so you're saying you are in favor of keeping on home arrest?
Yes.
Okay, I'm that part kind of faked out for me. Thank you.
Sorry.
Any other comments?
I agree with my colleague.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to make a motion then, and that is that we grant home arrest, in other words, keep Mr. Price on home arrest, and deny general parole and absolute discharge for Mr. Price.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay. Seconded and agreed. So, so there would be no set off, so that's going to be another 6 months. So we're granting. Let me find it here. Home arrest. And we're denying 412A and 411. Okay. All right. Mr. Price, you've probably heard the discussion. And the board has voted to keep you on home arrest for another, you've only been on not even 6 months. So we're thinking just let it go a little longer. Hope we can get things established with your residents. So you've got a solid place, and your eye will be fixed, and things will be looking a lot better.
I hope so.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much for participating in your hearing today.
Have a good day.
All right. Thanks so much. And your hearing is concluded, sir. Thank you. And thanks to Ms. Taft and Ms. Hatcher on the phone. Thank you so much for your input.
Thank you.